Hello, welcome to Be a Terrier. Much happier faces all round, and I'm sure listening there are as well. How are you doing, Dave?
Stephen, can I thank you?
Yeah.
I was going to have a sandwich for lunch, but then I saw you had chips, and I thought he's right, and I thought I'm gonna change and I'm gonna have chips. So I thank you for that.
I'm a real influencer, apparently. Huddersfield Town 1, Sheffield United 0. Danny Ward, absolute screamer of a goal, brilliant hit, gets better every time you see it, one of those goals. The result was the main thing. 0-0 would have been just fine. I would have been quite happy if all 22 players had stood in the centre circle having a picnic and a chat, to be perfectly honest. I would have found that absolutely scintillating stuff over the 90 minutes. Not really what we got. Town had to work for it. They had to dig in first half. They got a few let-offs, particularly from Daniel Jefferson. Thank you to Daniel Jefferson for kindly missing three quite scorable chances for Sheffield United. The turnaround is complete, Dave. Survival is assured. It's been a hell of a couple of months.
Yeah, it has. We did the podcast a while ago where we had to talk about them as though they were down, and we had had discussion before about how we were going to handle it, and there was no other way to do it at the time. And yeah, it's been quite remarkable. Before we sort of really analyse the game, I'm not a great believer in sort of fate and destiny and all of that sort of things, but sometimes in sport, I think momentum is a force of fate. And it's just felt for 6 weeks or so, like even when Town didn't get the result or Town didn't play, results just kept going for them. And sometimes, you know, that kind of doesn't happen by accident. It's because other clubs know there's pressure coming from an area where they'd previously written off or what have you, and it's made a difference, and it has been a remarkable turnaround. I think they've had some help along the way. I think they've had some luck along the way, but the difference is, I think under Warnock they've earned it.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, the first two thirds of the season they'd gone anywhere near earning a slice of luck. And yeah, you know, it congratulations, you know, nothing really sums it up for me more than Danny Ward, who, he's clearly not fit. He's clearly carrying an injury. I mean, there were times during the game where he couldn't run last night, but he was still trying to play high, still trying to pressure and stop the easy out ball from defence, doing what Danny Ward does. And I maintain he's hit that from there just because he hadn't got it in him to take a man on or take another touch or run it. It really was like, if I don't hit this here, I'm not going to get the shot off. And
his exact words were, sod it, I'm going to shoot.
Yeah, and it flew in. And that is kind of what this last 6 weeks has been about, you know, and it's been good. And I think I said on the last pod, I'll be honest, I don't think I'd want to watch a full season of Warnock ball on a couple of levels, really. But I don't think he'd play the same way, to yeah. give him his due. You know, I think he's had to be quite horses for courses at times. I think there's quite a big risk in repeatedly sort of giving the other team the first half to have a good look at them, try and ride out the storm, and then try and do something second half, because, you know, over the course of a season, there are lots of times where you're 2-0 down at half time, not 0-0. So I think he would change the way he played and what have you. But yeah, it's been interesting. It's been educational. I think when he came in, one of the things we wanted to do, me and you, was sort of talk about the fact that he's not some Luddite. He's not a lump it forward merchant or anything like that. There's been a lot of sort of tactical nuance on what he's done. He's also had to play a certain way in certain games. You know, he's been forced into it. And he's just turned them into a results machine. You know, that's the incredible thing, really. Last season, they were a results machine over the course of the season because Carlos Corberan just got them super organised. Super, super organised. And like, yet again this season, you wouldn't believe how far that takes you in this league. This time, it's just been a triumph of sort of hard work, horses for courses, a little bit of luck, and just being clinical as well, Steve. That's the remarkable thing, isn't it? They've discovered a clinical edge. They still don't create anything like enough chances. They still don't take anything like enough shots. But they just suddenly started scoring the chances they've got. And that was a very welcome turnaround, shall we say.
Yeah, before I go on, I'll apologise. Last week I got told off for vaping, this week I've got a bit of a sniffle, so apologies if any of that is coming through. There's also an ominous rumble of thunder when we started talking about the future of the club, so that's fun. But no, I think, and I also had scrambled egg on toast for lunch, by the way, not chips. But no, I think you're exactly right. I think, you know, you look at... And this is the thing, you sort of as a writer adapt to the manager that you're writing about and working with and what their team is like. And we've not really dug too much into statistics and XG and things like that, because I don't think it's that important to how a Neil Warnock side goes about their business. But, you know, they have defied the XG in a very similar way to Carlos Gorbrand's team did last year. They're still having had lots of games where they've had less than one expected goal per game and found a way to win, etc., etc. But I think the big difference has been that willingness to take risks. And I know there's been, as you say, maybe a bit of a feeling out period in some games. Some games they've gone in behind. Their first half record isn't very good. Warnock himself pointed this out. His first halves haven't been brilliant, but he's won most of his second halves, and that is factually accurate. He has lost a few, despite what he said. But they've mostly won their second halves, Town. And as I say, I think that is down to the willingness to say to the players, and he said it in reference to Jaheim Headley for the Sheffield United game, where he felt Headley was coming inside too much, coming into central areas too much, playing it a little bit safe at times. And he said he gave him a bit of a roasting at the break and said, just take your man on, go outside him. And if it doesn't work, I don't care. Just keep trying it. And I think that is basically this Neil Warnock side summed up. He wants his players to take risks. And we saw how risk-averse they became under Mark Fotheringham. You know, it was, I think, a large degree of overcorrection, because under Schofield it was the opposite. They were taking far too many risks, putting too many men forward. They had no defensive shape. They were so easy to catch on the break. They got done constantly like that. Fotheringham, it was overcorrect the other way, way too risk-averse, way too deep all the time. Complete unwillingness to try things, to try to grind out nil nils and one nils, and if you get into a war of attrition, your resistance is going to be broken eventually. You don't beat the Soviet Union in a land war. And Warnock is the Goldilocks for Huddersfield Town. He's found a way to kind of have the best of both. In a way, they've actually, defensively, their record under Warnock isn't brilliant, but it hasn't mattered, because they've been scoring at the other end, which they haven't done all season. And you can't argue with the results. You know, we really can't overstate what an improvement it's been. As I put in the conclusions, I think this all started at half time against Norwich, where they went in 1-0 down, came out and looked a completely different team to the one we'd seen at any other point this season. And they've basically just carried that on throughout the rest of the campaign. Before the Norwich game, they had, I think it was 31 or 32 points from 36 games. It was 32. 32 points from 36 games. From the Norwich game onwards, they've had 18 points from 9 games. So they've gone from being bottom of the table to, if you take the league table from the last 9 games, they'd be 5th. You know, that's the level of improvement we're talking about. They've lost 1 in the last 9. They've won 5 of them. And let's not forget, it's not the top 20 tweeted out. They've played, is it 11 of the top 13 since Warnock's taken over?
But, I said this briefly to you last night, but I kind of think that's helped them. I think having a series of almost free hits, and I don't mean it was ever a free hit to Warnock or the players, but I mean having a series of free hits where you've got a series of games where people are like, anything we get out of this is a massive bonus, that starts a ball rolling when you do start getting them out of them. And in a weird way, I think it has actually served them to play these sides, and to play sides that play football, you know, because it's given Warnock things to exploit in the second half. You know, it's given holes, and he's spotted areas on the pitch where he can put them out and drop them in. He's used players like Josh Caroma. He's adjusted their positions and adjusted what he wants them to do on the pitch when he's spotted the weaknesses. And like, you know, we were quite critical of Carlos Corberan last season when Town were in the playoffs and flying, because he was still so unreactive to situations. It really was like a sort of do plan A better
within games, your backup plan. Yeah.
Whereas what Warnock has done is he's set them out with a load of adjustments on the pitch. You know, we've seen games where they've gone man to man 10v10. We've seen games where he's tried to play Caroma as almost like a spare man in the pocket. We've seen games where they've tried to play in straight lines just to try and block out teams who want to play football. We've seen all sorts of variation. And it's a bit of a reminder after, it's impossible to do this without damning them, but I am going to include Carlos Corberan as well. But it's a bit of a reminder from Corberan and from Fotherington and from Schofield that, you know, one of the arts of management is adjustment in game, before games, from opponent to opponent. You get a team like Sheffield United who are 3-5-2 constantly, or a Burnley who just play the same way, and it's because of their personnel and their squad. You know, arguably they are way too strong for that league. Town aren't going to be in that position, so you have to do it by being clever. And you have to do it by being clever before games, in games, at half time of games. And that's what Warnock is. He's been clever. He's been clever throughout this run. And that is where he deserves the most credit, because he's known how to get something from those players. He's known how to get something from that club. He's known how to get something from that crowd. And that's been the biggest difference. Getting everybody on side, everybody rowing the right way. And it's been a good week for an advocate of it was never going to the final day, such as myself.
Yeah, I think the two things we've mentioned there, the cleverness and the ability to grind things out, and also the willingness to take risks, you've almost got sort of two sets of players who have each done a job there. And you've got the ones that have... And obviously everyone's done a bit of both things. I'm not sort of suggesting otherwise, but I think if you looked at the players who were the most risk-taking, the most energy, the most, you know, who brought that sort of new verve to the side that's been lacking for so long, it's the younger players. You know, it's Joe Hungbo, Jack Radoni, Josh Caroma, who has been absolutely fantastic, you have to say. And we've said it before, but I thought second half he was borderline unplayable at times against Sheffield United. He was sensational. Jaheim Headley, Brahima Diarra, Kean Herrett. And then you've got the players with the experience in there as well, you know, Michal Helic, Tom Lees, Lee Nichols, Jonathan Hogg, of course, Matty Pearson. And again, it's balance, you know, and you need that balance in the squad. And this is, let's be honest, pretty much the same squad of players that the other two managers have had, bar a couple of January signings, and bar a couple of, you know, players that were out injured first half of the season, like a Pearson. It's more or less the same squad. And I think we started this season by saying this is a team that's underperformed and is underperforming, then reached a certain point where it's like, oh no, this squad just isn't very good. But I think we're now back to actually we were right the first time. And I think we'll save next week, Dave, to dig into what's gone wrong this season and the lessons they need to learn for next season. If we can save most of that. But I think this has shown, as remarkable as this comeback has been, it sort of shows you the level of underachievement that was there before. And it's fantastic that they've got over the line now. And I don't want to spend too much time on this because, you know, I don't want to dampen anyone's spirits, but it is an unavoidable fact. Town probably shouldn't have been in that bottom three all season until sort of a month ago.
Yeah. You know, we're going to have to do an autopsy on the season and what I still maintain has been a big underperformance. But yeah, there's a lot to be said about this season. And I think Warnock being able to do what he does, has been able to do, when we get to it, this isn't the podcast to do it, but it's actually quite damning in one way, Steve, of a lot of other things. And we will get to that. And I know, you know, lots of fans have an opinion on that, but yeah, I think we've got to do a deeper dive on that and the next one. But I think that you look at someone like Romani Edmonds Green, mm-hmm. right, who everybody knows, it's my personal project to get him into the England squad, right? Warnock's come in, he's played as a central defender, he's played as a defensive midfielder, he's played as a man marker, just to sit on somebody and just follow them all over the pitch. He's played as a right wing back, and you know, he was described as teacher's pet on that Waghorn and Dwayne Holmes thing on Sky, because the manager loved him, and you can see why, because he just has done what he's been told. He's the one who goes down for the tactical foul, Steve. I don't know if you've noticed that. He's the one who goes down with the tactical injury, and so Warnock can get the troops together on the sideline and have a proper chat with them. He's just, he's sort of the epitome of what Warnock's been able to do, which is look at players that others have, I wouldn't say written off, but have just either decided they're not good enough, or they're not specific enough, or they can't adapt. And he's been able to find uses for them. And Romani has been, I think he's brilliant. I thought he was excellent again last night. Mm-hmm. I think Josh Caroma has been staggeringly good on the back foot. You know, the big criticism of Josh Caroma was never going forward. The big criticism of Josh Caroma was always that he didn't do enough defensively. So when he did have a bad game, you know, and I'm thinking of, say, the Barnsley game, Barnsley away last year when we were there, Steve, and we were just tearing our hair out at him. If he's given you nothing going forward and he's given you nothing going back, you can't play him. Well, now, there have been games where he hasn't been so productive going forward as he was second half last night. But his covering work and his shielding work has been what I can only describe as proper.
Yeah.
Which is not a great analyst term, but it's been proper.
There was a couple of times against Cardiff where there was a ball, they were trying to play balls in behind, up the flanks, and it was him getting back to nod it away.
Yeah. You know, and you can go on. You can look at Jack Redona. We joked about he was probably never going to score until, you know, somebody went and weed on all the corner flags at the ground and lifted the curse and all of that sort of thing. But it's no surprise to me he got his couple of goals under Warnock, because Warnock changed the way he was playing and turned him into a bit of a runner more than anything. But by turning him into a runner, suddenly he popped up into a couple of positions where he could score. And the one where he comes across against Blackburn and gets the finish at the near post, that is what you want Jack Redoni doing, really. Mm-hmm. You know, arriving late, defender, getting there just before the defender, that is where you want him causing damage going forward, you know, getting into those sort of areas. So, yeah, it's been fantastic, and let's give him his due. There are 99.9% of other managers out there who couldn't have come into Huddersfield Town in that situation with this Huddersfield Town squad and got Huddersfield Town safe. You know, I don't think Jurgen Klopp or Pep Guardiola could have done it. There is something about Warnock that is just absolutely liquid Huddersfield Town, and there is something about Huddersfield Town that is just absolutely liquid Warnock, isn't there? It's just a synergy. And credit to the club for doing the only thing they could to save them and actually doing it.
Yeah, exactly what I was just about to come on to, which is someone else said to me, Ollie Fisher actually said to me earlier, probably this is a rare instance where you can look at what's happened in the turnaround they've had and just go, well, it's all down to the manager. And then, you know, I don't think that's taking any credit away from the players, but I think they know themselves that that's the case. Just look at what they did, the guard of honour for him as he went off the pitch after the game on Thursday night. You know, I think they know full well, and Jonathan Ogg and Danny Ward both were quite open about it. They're giving all the credit to Neil Warnock for it, and you kind of have to join in with that, particularly, again, when they've underperformed all season, looked nowhere near, looked dead and buried, as Hoggy admitted. So I don't think we need to feel bad that we said that ourselves. And then they've survived, not just survived, but done it with a game to spare. And yeah, all right, you can talk about, sit there and thump your Bible and talk about your junk. No, you can talk about Reading's points deduction, Wigan's points deduction. But even without that, Town would be going into the final day in a good position where they only need to match or better one of the results of the four teams below them in the table. So, or draw against Reading would do it. So, I'm not having any talk about the points deduction and the effect that's had. I think Town would be out of it regardless. But, yeah, I've got nothing but praise for Neil Warnock and the job that he's done. I really don't.
Mm. And just a quick word for Reading in all of this. Crap. That's my word for them. Crap.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not a good team. They're not a good team. No. And do you know what? Like, I didn't particularly want to commit this to print because I don't want to be quoted all over Berkshire Live. But I'm kind of glad Reading have gone down. It's nice to see that a team breaks the rules and overspends as flagrantly as they have for years.
Absolutely. They were running at 200. They were running at 212% of turnover as wages at one point. That is not fair. that should not be rewarded. And that's why I'm saying my word for them. It's just you can't run the club like that. And they literally tried to unbalance the competition in their favour and failed. There should be a consequence for that, Steve. And now they're suffering the consequence. Have some of that.
I was saying to someone as well, in a weird way, this season will, in some regard, end up being, I think, more fondly remembered than last season because of how it's ended. Obviously, it's been nowhere near as good a season. It's been nowhere near as special a season over the course of the campaign. It's been absolutely horrible on and off the pitch for everyone, I think. But I think this will always now be remembered as the season where Warnock came back. And I think he put it best himself when he said there'll be, and you can speak to this, Dave, there'll be a generation of kids who were at that game on Thursday night or have been at some of the other games in the build-up to this who are watching that and who are now Huddersfield Town fans for life because they've experienced this. And even the older heads who were already diehards, likes of John McLean. Again, it's what it's all about. It's why we watch football, is for memories like that. And yeah, it's been a horrible season, but you can't get anything like that anywhere else in entertainment, if you want to call it entertainment.
No, I did see there were one or two of the usual comments from other fans of Championship clubs about celebrating not going down and all of that sort of thing. And I just, whenever I see the celebration police out for something like that or for winning the League Cup, you know, celebrating the League Cup like they won the Champions League, it's like football must just be such a soulless place for you when all that really matters is the Champions League final and, to a lesser extent, the Premier League trophy. It's like what a joyless existence that is. And yeah, last night was everything you want from football, really. And my daughter, Steve was referring to my daughter who was there, and she was blown away at the end. She's been captivated over the course of the season when it's been bad. So when it's good, you know, it's incredible for her. And they're renewing their season tickets over on the far side, and she's constantly drenched in Huddersfield Town gear. She looks like David Wagner at his pomp. So, you know, it does make a difference. And the thing is, we're coming into a different kind of summer. There's a changing of the guard, you know. We have no inside information on exactly when Kevin Nagle takes over officially, but we've certainly not heard any noises to suggest there's any trouble, so it's probably in the EFL's hands. Again, we don't know that, we're just assuming.
Yeah, I believe it is, yeah.
But when that happens, and you know, we have there is going to be some changes. There's a new manager coming in to what is now a horrible job, replacing Neil Warnock. I don't mean horrible in the sense that it's impossible or anything like that, but yeah, if you lose two in a row next season, there is going to be a certain section of the fans who are just going to say, can we not just get Neil back? But they've got to get a new manager. There'll be a little bit of upcycling in the squad, and yeah, it makes such a difference to finish this way, Steve, because you're finishing on a moment of triumph. And let's be honest, this season has been anything but triumphant, but finishing on a moment of triumph right at the end of the season makes or breaks your summer. And you could find that really makes the summer for them. And yeah, let's see. They've got certain cycles they've got to break, which we'll go into, and all of that sort of thing. But you've just got to, football's about moments, you know. If you can't enjoy the moments, then you're a Man City fan. No, I don't mean that.
Bayern Munich fan. Fans.
Yes, Bayern Munich fan. Before I get attacked. But it's the other thing is, it's a very Huddersfield Town moment. You know, there are other clubs who wouldn't celebrate in that way, and it wouldn't mean as much. This was a very, very Huddersfield Town moment. And please understand, I am not using that disparagingly at all. I'm talking about these are the things and the triumphs that are quite unique to that football club and the things to be celebrated at that football club, and there is nothing wrong with that, and long may it continue. Because I tell you what, I'd far rather have nights like last night than what we had in December and January, largely.
Right, Kevin Keegan. I mean, I think you were spot on. I'm sorry, I'm a bit incoherent because I'm knackered. I didn't really sleep last night. I've lost a bit of weight and I keep rolling over on my front in my sleep and then waking up lying on both my shoulders and both my arms are dead and then I can't get back to sleep. But
do you, when you do that, do you sit there going, I'm a ladybird, I'm a ladybird?
I will now. But yeah, that happened this morning and then I remembered last night and I was too buzzing to get back to sleep. So there we go. But you've said to me you think Neil Warnock is basically the embodiment of Huddersfield Town. You know, he is everything they want as a personality, in terms of his style of football, which isn't to everyone's taste, as he himself will be keen to point out to you. Again, it's just, I think this is something that shouldn't be overlooked, and you mentioned giving credit to the club for getting him in when they did, but I don't think there's anyone else they could have got other than David Wagner. Maybe.
No. He wouldn't have done it.
Not kept them safe, but I was going to say,
no,
immediately got the fans back on side in that way.
I don't even think he would in the same way. I think the thing is, you'd had a lot of people with a real sugar rush straight away, a proper sugar rush, who, if he then goes and loses to Burnley and Coventry in the same way, I think suddenly the memories of how it ended in the Premier League, how it went, you know, how it went wrong and how the wheels came off and the recency of that, I don't think you'd have had the crowd in the same way. I really don't. And I don't think you could. David Wagner could have not have sat there before and after the Burnley game essentially laughing about writing it off.
Yeah.
And it'd be all right with a chunk of fans. And the problem is, I just don't think he gets the crowd in the same way. The crowd have been a major factor, I think, home and away games. I think one of the things that squad has felt this season is a little bit isolated on the pitch at times. This isn't a criticism of the crowd. They deserve to be. They've been truly rotten in too many games to receive unreserved backing. I think, I said this to you off the record, Steve, I'll go on the record now, I think the Town crowd have been incredibly patient at times this season. Incredibly patient. And people who are like, you know, when they did get a few boos, there were one or two people going, oh, you've got to support the club. There are other clubs where there'd have been booing from the second week of the season.
Yeah.
You know? So I think Warnock got the fans in a way on side, even through the defeats, that I just don't think Wagner would have done. I genuinely think, in my heart of hearts, I think there is one person in world football who could have done what he'd done. Again, it's not a disparaging remark. I'm not claiming he's better than Pep Guardiola or better than Klopp, but it's just for this perfectly unique set of circumstances. He has this perfectly unique toolkit at this club where he fits in like a glove to come and do it, and he did it. Remarkable.
I thought it was really, really canny that even from day one he was like, well, I don't know if I can keep us up, but we'll give it a go. And again, I think that is something only Warnock could get away with coming in and saying, because he can, as you say, you mentioned the Burnley thing, I think that's a perfect example. The kind of thing that only Neil Warnock can come and say and everyone just thinks it's funny instead of grossly offensive and unambitious or whatever it is. You know, we've seen that with other managers where they've said certain things and fans have not responded well. Warnock can say those things and people just take it as earnestness. They take it as humour. He talked at the press conference last night about the role of humour in the dressing room. And again, I think the players needed that levity and just to take the pressure off them, you know. And I think there's a reason why, I know it genuinely does annoy him, but I think there's a reason why Neil Warnock spends so much of his time complaining about referees or talking about how his team don't have any luck. It's a distraction. You know, it's right out of the Alex Ferguson playbook. Mm. Probably Warnock would say Ferguson learned it from him. But
but it was interesting last night when he got the Guard of Honour and you could see he was emotional, you know, and the robot learnt to feel, you know. It was like he felt something other than anger. The baby foal walked. It was incredible, really, to see it. But I'm being trite. But you have to understand that I think what we see on the pitch is only ever the result of all the work that goes in off it. And I think what Warnock has done, more than anything else, is his strength is not getting a squad of football particularly fit or like masses of real tactical nuance and flair or anything like that. His strength is by getting a core of players to do exactly what he wants but also feel absolutely great doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and that is what they needed. And as I said, there was this marriage with the crowd there and the club itself, and it's just worked. It's been a real triumph. But yeah, I don't want to lurch into the territory we're going to cover next week, but they have to break this cycle now, you know. Mm-hmm. They can't, it's the permanent boom and bust really stops them growing properly.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that Neil Warnock was asked the same question in two different ways last night, and he gave a better answer when Carlos Saba asked it late on, which was essentially, you know, are you going to have a role at the club going forward in terms of giving them some advice and giving them a blueprint? It's not that I don't think look, after what he's done, he needs to certainly have a conversation with the new manager and have conversations with people at the club, but it's kind of, Town should never be bringing in a 74-year-old in February to get them out of trouble again. You know, if they're going to move on, this has been an unbelievable triumph. You know, this has been special, Steve, hasn't it? This has been club DVD stuff, let's be honest. And again, I'm not being trite when I say this has been a really special period for fans. I have mates who genuinely weren't going to games, you know, and the season tickets are cheap enough for them to miss and they don't really care, who are now back in love, you know. And I've had a picture this morning of Neil Warnock as Christ the Redeemer on Castle Hill. I've had enough of another one of him sat in the coronation chair. I've had another, you know, they are back in love with it. Town really need to sort of capitalise on that now and not go into another roller coaster, really. That's the last thing they need. And I hope they do lean on Warnock a bit for a bit of advice. But what I'm saying is I don't think he's necessarily the man you want a blueprint from. I think they've got to do something now that ensures they don't need to pick up the phone to Neil Warnock in February next year. He'll probably be at Plymouth by then anyway.
I think you're right that I think, and again, don't want to get too far into territory we're going to get into next week, but you're right, the boom and bust isn't helpful, because I think everyone acknowledges promotion to the Premier League came before they were really ready for it. And then it meant that they just weren't, I know they stayed up, but weren't especially prepared for the ramifications of that. I think last season was a similar situation. And I think it's not just that they weren't prepared to go up to the Premier League last year, I think they weren't particularly prepared to maintain being a playoff contending championship side for this season.
I agree.
When you look at the players that left and you know, the lack of replacements from, and you know, that's not to sort of do down Chet Radoni and Yuta Nakayama, who's obviously missed most of the season, but they weren't, and I think the way that things are played out off the field tells you they weren't in a position to continue investing at a level that would have got them there. And I think the only way you do that is by steady and planned growth, rather than just what would just being reactive all the time. That's the thing, isn't it? They've just been so reactive for 15 years, bar sort of 3 years where after they got promoted to the Championship and were sort of finishing 19th every year. So yeah, it's and even then they were replacing the manager every year, weren't they? So
yeah,
it's again, we'll get into this more next week, but it's at the moment it's happy days. Do we have anything more to add, Dave?
Not really. I mean, I think I think at the moment it's just really just enjoy yourselves. You know, that last game on Monday being a dead rubber. I know I was like a big advocate of the fact I never thought he'd go to the final day because I just thought the winds were blowing Town's way a while ago, and I've been saying it for a few weeks. But the fact it is a dead rubber should not stop it from being remarkable, really, that they're in that situation. And I think whatever happens in that game, the fact that Town will get to walk around that ground getting a standing ovation from the fans, that there will be a sort of a joy and a bump going into the summer. Whatever happens in the 90 minutes, it doesn't matter. You know, I think that in and of itself is genuinely remarkable, because there was a point this season where it looked like it was going to be your classic 800 fans left in the stadium 5 minutes after full time. You know, see you later. We're done. Let's move on to the summer. So, yeah, I think it is remarkable. I think it's brilliant. I think a lot of people are back in love and are going to renew season tickets, etc., which is a huge part of Town's business model. Let's be completely cynical about it. So that is a very, very good thing. And, yeah, it's a weight off, isn't it? We did not want particularly to be a League One podcast next season.
Yeah. Before we finish, actually, Dave, player of the season voting is now open. Who would you be voting for, or who have you voted for, or would you prefer not to say, lest you prove too influential and sway the vote?
I have voted Anthony Knockhart.
He's not even listed. Didn't play enough games.
I think over the course of the season, it's Mikael Helic for me, who has been. I always look at player of the season as, it's not necessarily the player who's been the best for certain spells. You know, I'm a big advocate of the player who's never been below a six and, you know, rarely been higher than an eight, but has always been in that mix. And I think that's where Helic's been. You know, he's never really had a 4 out of 10 game to my eye. I think Matty Pearson would probably get it if he'd not had that injury. I think he's been so influential since he's come back. And such a big... He's like the epitome of Warnock on the pitch, isn't he? Matty Pearson.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big old slice of Warnock on you in your back three. So it would have been him for me if he'd played longer, but it's Helic. It's interesting to me that some of the people I know who voted have gone for other people. I think there's a little bit of recency bias in there, but yeah, hell's bells for me.
I'm also Team Helic for exactly the same reasons. I think there's other players who have, and again, I'm with you on Pearson. I think he's not played enough minutes to get my vote. He's missed half the season. I'm not doing down what he's done in those minutes, because as you say, he's been massively influential. But I think the fact that you've got a player who has sort of, I think, matched his levels in Helic and has done so over the whole season, and came in when they desperately needed that centre back as Pearson's replacement. I find it difficult to look past him. I think Tom Lees is up there as well. I think Jared.
Yeah,
go on.
I think the only thing I was going to say about Tom Lees, there was a spell last year where he suddenly looked every inch his age, and he looked really uncomfortable.
No, he
didn't look good at all. Whereas I think it's just because Helic's come in and he's sort of kind of not missed a beat throughout.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Jack Radone is the other one that's interesting, which I know you were going to say.
Yeah, I think he's the only player who's played every game for Town this season, not started them all, but he's played every game. I think it's fair to say he's improved over the season. I think he started well, then had a dip, and then has been gradually improving since then. But I think second half of the season has been really influential, so particularly in improving them in attack. So I could completely understand where that's coming from.
He's like Clubman of the Year. You got Player of the Year and Clubman of the Year, and he's like Clubman of the Year, isn't he, for the effort and the minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Lovely. Right, Dave, musical recommendation. We have to sing that.
Right, okay.
And next year we're going to change this to media recommendations, like TV shows and podcasts and things, because I'm running out of music.
There's not much of it about, Steve. There is a finite supply. You're exactly right, to be fair. But no, how many times can we recommend Into the Spider-Verse between us over the next season? That will be the game. Mac Miller, The Divine Feminine. Been listening again. Love that album. It's a shame he was taken from us, but that album is just a piece of genius, really. An Ellsworth of genius.
Yeah, he collaborated a lot with Thundercat, didn't he? Who was one of my favourites.
He collaborated with loads of people. Yeah.
There we go. Right, I'm going for Jesse Ware's new album, which is called That Feels Good. There's an exclamation mark after that and an exclamation mark after Feels Good. Disco, well, I say disco inflected, literally just straight disco is what it is. Very unlike her previous stuff, but no less enjoyable for it. Sound of the Summer, Dave.
Sound of the Summer, is it, Limmy?
Exactly. Lovely, great, fantastic. I'm off to put you in at centre forward for Monday's predicted lineup, Dave.
And I'm fit, Gaffer. I'm fit.
We'll see you next time. Goodbye.